Thank you, Kay and worship team. This morning, we are continuing our series on 1 Peter. Our series title is How to Live a New Life in an Old World. Peter is writing to the churches that are scattered in Asia Minor, and his focus is talking to them about how they, as new believers who are a new creation in Christ, who've been born again, can live their lives in this old world that's passing away. We don't fit in any longer. We're strangers. We're aliens in this land. How do we live out our lives in this place that we still live until the Lord comes again? Now, one of the key things that we're called to do while we remain here is to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' last words to the church, found in Matthew 28, verse 19, is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, and Jesus is saying, go and tell people about me, bring them to me, that they might be put their faith in me, be baptized, and become my follower. The greatest act of love that we can show another person is to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ that can give them everlasting life and save them from everlasting destruction. And introducing people to Jesus is a process. It begins, first of all, by authentically loving people and getting to know people. And then showing them the love of Jesus in the way that we live. And then as time goes on, it will include talking about the Lord Jesus. And so it begins with just our lifestyle, living the life. As it continues, there'll be times we'll talk about our faith. You see, people need to hear the gospel to come to Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And that someone is you and me. It's us. We have that good news. And so today, we're going to talk about how we can share our faith, both in some key things that we do in how we live, and also in our words. We're going to share a couple of practical, simple ways that you can share the gospel as well. My goal is to equip us all to be able to tell people about Jesus. And so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin reading from verse 8 through verse 17. Peter writes, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. I need to turn this thing on. I'm going to try to do my own clicker today. But I need to know what I'm doing first. I think I got it. We'll see. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as Peter talks about both the words that we need to speak and the way that we need to live, His first point is that we need to overcome evil with good. Peter, if you remember back over the last few sermons, has been talking about living in right relationships with one another. First of all, he talked about living in right relationship with those in civic and in workplace authority over us. Then he talked about right relationship between the husband and the wife. And now in our first verse in our text today, Peter addresses all believers about how we're all to live towards one another as brothers and sisters. Verse 8, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. We are to be like-minded. The Holy Spirit gives us a unity of mind as we seek Him, because we all have a common purpose, and we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to love one another, which includes sympathy and compassion, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, understanding what people are going through, and supporting and encouraging one another through all those things. If we do these things, there'll be unity in the body, there'll be oneness, a closeness. We're living in a world that is hostile towards believers in Christ, and it's becoming increasingly hostile. And we've got to stick together. We can't be shooting at one another and you're getting wounded by friendly fire. We need to walk together in unity as family. And Peter begins to discuss how we're to relate to all people when they mistreat us. Verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, Peter is probably mainly thinking about the non-believers in the world around who are ridiculing, mocking the believers. But unfortunately, we all know that our fellow believers can be hostile at times as well. Unfortunately, it ought not to be, but so it is. We're humans. And so how do we respond to non-believers or believers when they're hostile, when they're unkind, mean, when they insult us? Well, we bless them. Right, that's right. God has blessed us. He blessed us when we were still His enemies, when we were hostile towards Him. He's forgiven us. He's given us everlasting hope, everlasting life, His peace and presence today. And as we have been blessed, we are called to bless. It's our job to bless others. We've been blessed to be a blessing. See, this is so radically different than the way the world lives, and so radically different than the way we would live by nature apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We overcome evil with good. Paul says the same thing in Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And our Lord Jesus commanded us in Luke 6, 27 and 28, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Wow. What words, powerful words for those. Convicting. You see, when we fight evil with evil, when we give way to bitterness, to unforgiveness, to rage, to unkindness, the evil that is in the world can enter our own souls and desecrate us. We're a holy people, and we're to love the way the Lord has loved us. The way we defeat evil isn't to fight hatred with hatred. The way you overcome evil is to come in the opposite spirit. The way you overcome hatred is by loving. The way you overcome someone's arrogance is by humility. The way you overcome cursing is by blessing. This makes no sense to the world, right? We fight, in the world you fight fire with fire. You give them what they're giving to you. But we fight evil with good. As we do so, our hearts will soar above the evil. And we'll begin to overcome the evil around us. And we'll also prevent that evil from taking root in our own hearts. You see, if we're going to bring the good news of the gospel to this world, our lives need to be the good news. We need to show forth the gospel by how we live. Jesus loved, forgave, showed mercy when we were his enemies. We do the same. We must be the good news to the world in both word and deed. And so this is our second point. Let your light shine. We're born again. It doesn't always show, but the very radiance of Christ dwells within us. And as we let that light shine, it authenticates the gospel message when we share it. So Peter's talking in our passage today about the need to both live a godly life and the importance of being prepared to share our faith verbally with others. He tells us in verse 15, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. See, leading others to Jesus begins by us ourselves submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ when the world does not do that. And then Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. How we share the gospel is as important as the words that we share. And our behavior, our lifestyle is as important. Both are needed. And so Jesus tells us, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so we need to be the good news in word and deed. And being the good news begins by loving people and being real, being authentic. It's true, you've heard it said, people won't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. When we talk about God's love, will be far more convincing if we're speaking with love and living with love. Being a witness in lifestyle is essential. But more is needed. Peter tells us, be prepared to share the reason for the hope that you have. The latter part of verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What's the hope? The hope is the good news that Jesus has paid the price for our sins so that our sins are forgiven, that we've been washed clean. We're free from guilt and shame because of that. We're free from sin and death, and we've been given everlasting life. And we can know God's love and his presence right now. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's there to walk with us, to bear our needs, and we have victory in Jesus. That's the good news, and the hope that he is with us today, he'll be with us tomorrow, he'll be with us forever. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk about how you can share that hope with others. But I want to first talk about a way that we can bring the good news to others that we sometimes overlook. And that is, we can bring the good news as we connect others to Jesus' people. Well, who are Jesus' people? We are, right? The church. And so, oftentimes, a huge step in bringing people to the love and life of Jesus is bringing them to Jesus' people, where they can hear the good news, where they can meet Christians and find out that we're normal people. Well, sort of normal. We're normal in some ways. So they can kick the tires and find out, this place, it's safe. It reminds me of the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus was at a well. His disciples had gone into a town to buy food. And a Samaritan woman came to get water from the well. And he strikes up a conversation with her. And he tells her, you're coming here to drink water. You drink that water, you'll get thirsty again. But he says, if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. And she said, oh, Lord, give me that water so I'll never have to thirst again or come to draw water here at this well. And then he told her things about herself that he could not possibly have known. He just met her. She was astounded and realized, this man's a prophet. Maybe he's the Christ, the Messiah. And then the Bible tells us what happened next. John 4, verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, she was so overwhelmed, she forgot what she came for. The woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards Jesus. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days longer. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Now we have heard for ourselves. What did she do? Did she give a complex gospel presentation? No. She just gave her testimony. She just told people what Jesus had done for her, and she invited them to come to Jesus. Come to a place where they could meet Jesus. And so, likewise, we can invite people to church where people will experience the Lord and hear the gospel. We can invite them to Alpha, where people can hear the gospel and experience the Lord's presence at work. We can invite them to other events that our church is holding. And as they get connected, they'll have the opportunity to learn and experience the Lord. People usually belong before they believe. They get connected to other people, other believers, before they get connected to the Lord. Think about your life. It's probably true for you. You might have belonged to a Christian family. You might have been invited to a small group. You might have gotten to know a friend who hung out with you, and you begin to feel a closeness to them. People usually belong before they believe. And then the next thing is this: prepare to share your personal testimony in a simple way. Notice something else about the story about the Samaritan woman. The woman didn't share profound theological truths about Jesus with the people she was talking to. She had just met Jesus. In fact, she was a Samaritan, and the Samaritans were heretics. She just said, I met Jesus. Come see. She just shared her testimony, and that's all it took to get people to flock out to meet Jesus. Your personal testimony is one of the most powerful tools of evangelism, of reaching people for Jesus, that you could imagine. They say that people can disagree with an argument, but it's hard to disagree with a testimony. This is what Jesus has done for me. Everyone has a testimony. You may have had a rough background, a tough upbringing, and the Lord Jesus rescued you, and, There may have been a dramatic turnaround in your life. Or like me, you may have grown up in a Christian family. My dad was a pastor who loved the Lord. But there came a time in my life when the gospel became real. The Holy Spirit touched me and I saw things I had never seen before. And that changed my life. And here are three simple steps that can help you share your personal testimony with others. Very simple. The first thing to do is share what your life was like before Christ. Or if you've been a Christian all your life, share what your life was like before some impactful moment that took place. It may have been at camp. It may have been something God showed you in the Word. It might have been something that happened through a hard time in your life and experience. So share what your life was before that. Next, share what happened in your life that brought you to Christ. Share how you came to Christ. Or, in my case, share what happened to open your eyes to a truth that you never seen before. And then finally, share what your life was like afterwards. What is it like now? It's sometimes helpful to summarize the before and after using two words to describe, first of all, what your life was before, and then what your life was after you met Jesus or came to some life-changing truth. So the before word might be joyless, and the after word might be joyful. In my case, the before word was could be anxious, and the after word, peace. My whole life growing up, I was driven to try to prove my worth. And it was partly probably because my parents, while loving people, never really affirmed me, so I never felt their affirmation, so I tried harder and harder. But partly it's just the way I was wired as well. And so all my life I was striving, and that striving to please my parents became striving to please others, became striving to earn God's love by the way I lived. And I was driven. There's no peace. And I didn't even know it because it's all I ever knew. And then there came a time, I think I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again, when I went through a time where I just felt like I was failing the Lord, and I was in my face before the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, I've tried to bring home A's all of my life, and I just brought home an F. And the Lord just gently said to me with a hint of humor in his voice, oh, Paul, you've been bringing home F's all your life. And I still love you. It's like a light bulb went on. And I realized that all my what I thought was pretty good wasn't very good at all. But the Lord still loved me. And for the first time, I was a pastor when this happened. For the first time, I got grace. I understood. I don't have to earn his love. He already loves me with all my mess. I finally stopped trying to earn his love and received the love that was already there. And I begin to know his peace. Before, what happened, and after. And so ask this question, what is your two word story? You can use the same word and add a question mark for the before time and just a period or an exclamation mark for the after time. Like, accepted? No, I didn't feel accepted. But now I accept it. Free? No, I was in bondage. But now, free. And there's many others. And you pick your own word. Fulfilled, hope, joy, loved. In my case, it was peace or purpose. And again, you don't have to use the same word. It could be, I was dead and now I'm alive. I was broken and now I'm transformed. I'm whole. I was restless and now I'm content. I was fearful. Now I'm fearless and so forth. The question is, what are the words? And there may be more than one story in your life. There are for most of us. I have a story of doubt and faith. And so let the Lord speak to your heart. You can go to the website eachtoday.com, and you can find two-word story examples and testimonies, and I put that website address in your bulletin. And let me tell you this. It's okay that your life is still in process. I have a whole lot more peace now than I did before, but I still struggle at times with anxiety and with a lack of peace. But the question I ask myself is this: am I better with Jesus than I would have been without Jesus? And the question is a resounding yes. And so we're all still in process. You know, you may say, I was restless and now I'm content. And it's like, mostly content. And we can be honest about that when we're talking to our friends. Peter tells us to be prepared to give an answer regarding your hope in Christ. Prepare yourself by thinking through your simple testimony. And if you can't think of an experience of God's transforming work in your life, you may need to spend some time reflecting on what God has done, because he has done a work. So it may take some time to ponder. For some of you, it'll come up right away. For some of us, we need to gain a deeper understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus and begin to live into that so that we will experience who we are, understand the testimony we have to share. For some of us, we need a touch of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to bring to life more fully that which we already have in Christ Jesus. And as we do so, we'll have a testimony to share. You all have a testimony, so be thinking about that. God's good work in your life. And then Peter, in telling us to share the reason for the hope that was in us, he tells us to be prepared. And we need to be prepared to share the gospel message in a simple way. You see, the two-word story is important. You need to be ready to share how Jesus has changed your life. But it's also important to be able to share the gospel in a simple way, how Jesus has saved us from our sins and given us everlasting life. So I want to share a simple tool that anyone can use to share the gospel, and it just uses one verse. You know, some people think, I have to memorize dozens of verses to share my faith. You just need to know one verse, and you don't even need to memorize it. I encourage you to memorize it, but just take your bulletin insert and put it in your wallet or put it in your purse and have it with you, because the verse is in the bulletin there, in your bulletin notes for the sermon, as well as this little presentation that I'm going to share with you. And everything I'm going to share with you is called One Verse Evangelism. Can be found on the Navigators website, navigators.org. And this was One Verse Evangelism by Dr. Randy Raisbrook. And the website is navigators.org. And then, you know, /resource/1-verse-evangelism. But if you just Google One Verse Evangelism, it'll come up. And look for the Navigators website. The gospel can be powerful when it's shared in simplicity. And this is so easy to use because it just uses one verse. And also an illustration and questions that you ask. So imagine this. You're with a friend. Maybe you're at a coffee shop or you're having lunch. And the opportunity comes to talk about Jesus. So you just grab a napkin. This is a napkin. If you look carefully, there's little ridges on the bottom. And grab a pen. And then write Romans 6:23 at the top of the napkin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Write that down. And then we're just going to walk through this word by word. And ask your friend if he or she would like to see a simple picture based on this verse that explains God, what God can do in our lives. And if they say yes, then underline the word wages and ask this question: how would you feel if your boss refused to pay you the wages that were due to you? And people deep down, they know that it's only right to get what they deserve. And in the same way, we earn wages from God. by how we live our life. Now we're going to find out that those wages aren't positive. The next thing you underline is the word sin. Now ask your friend what he or she thinks when they hear this word. It's always interesting. This is a dialogue. It takes time. And you might explain that sin is an attitude in addition to behavior. It could either be actively fighting against God, or it could just be merely excluding Him from our lives. The word sin literally means to miss the mark. So just picture an archer trying to shoot at a target, and you're missing bullseye. And you can just ask your friend, do you miss the mark some of the time? And I know I do. Sin includes things that we do as well as things we don't do. So just have that conversation with them. It may take a while, but it's good. That's one of the things that sin does. It separates us from God. And so you can ask, have you ever felt distant from God? Like God seems far away. Then underline the word death and write it down on the left-hand side of the napkin. And explain the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. So our works have been bad. And so the penalty, the just wage is death for our sin. It's everlasting death. The just destiny for all people is the punishment of death. Then draw lines representing a chasm and put a stick man on one side and God on the other side and explain how sin has created this huge gap between this huge gulf between us and God. And then draw little arrows from the man's side across, trying to get across that gulf. But they just barely start. They don't actually start at all, but it's our effort using religion or good works to get to God. But religion and good works can never cross the chasm that's been created by sin. And so we've sinned. The wages of sin is death. The chasm is huge. That's the bad news. And then underline the word but, which tells us that there's a transition in what's being said, a contrast in thought. We shared the bad news. Now we're going to share the good news. Underline the word gift and ask, what's the difference between a gift and a wage? Let them answer. Well, certainly a gift is something that we've not earned. And some people like me spend their whole life trying to earn God's favor, or early part of my life trying to earn God's favor by doing good. But it's impossible to earn our good, to be good. And it's impossible to earn what's already been bought. If someone gives you a gift, you don't have to pay for it. It's a gift. And so then underline the word God and write it on top, underneath gift, the gift of God. And explain that the gift we're talking about, it's free. It comes from God Himself. No one else can give it. Why would God want to give us such a gift as eternal life? Well, we don't deserve it. It's because He loves us. When He created the world, He created the world. The purpose of it was to populate it with people who knew Him and loved Him. That's His joy and delight. But we've chosen to live lives separate from God. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. But because of God's great love for us, He's provided a way for us to live in peace with Him. And by the way, while you're sharing this, you can bring in other scriptures if they come to your mind. That's the great thing about this, is it's the whole gospel presentation. You can bring in things, or if you don't think of something, that's fine too. And then you underline eternal life. This is the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And ask, how would you define these words, eternal life? Let them talk about that. Life. What's life? Real life. What's eternal? And then contrast one side of the cliff with death, with the other side, which is eternal life. And ask, what is the opposite of separation from God? Well, it's eternal life. It's a relationship with God forever. And so just dialogue with your friend and ask questions. And by the way, I mentioned, you know, this whole dialogue, all this is on that. If you Google One Verse Evangelism Navigators, I mean, they have whole scripts for this just to read it through. and get familiar with it. But it'll come to you as you're sharing. And then underline Christ Jesus. And write them so they cross the gap between man and God. And help your friend to consider that just as every gift has a unique giver, only Jesus Christ can give eternal life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And then draw a cross to be a bridge across that gap. And you can ask the question, do you know how we can receive the gift of God? It's simply by believing in Jesus Christ and trusting what he's done on the cross, that he's died for our sins to wash them away. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. And the gift is offered, but we have to take it and receive it. And we receive it through faith. And so just write the word trust or faith on the top with a line going from the man side to God's side. That's how we receive the gift. We trust in what Jesus has done for us on the cross to wash our sins away and to give us new life. And finally, you can underline the word Lord and just explain that when we put our faith in Jesus to wash our sins away, we're also acknowledging that he's the Lord, the leader of our life. We receive him as Savior and Lord. We're saved by grace alone, but we're saved to begin to live a changed life, a life of love, a kind of life that God intended for us to live. There's the gospel. And you may feel led at that time to say, would you like to pray to ask the Lord to come to forgive your sins and to give you new life? And you know, sometimes you'll just be shocked. You'll ask that question and they'll go, yes. Oh no. What do I do? Just a simple prayer. Lord, just asking for forgiveness of sins. I put my trust in Jesus. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me a new life. I mean, that's you know, and they can pray the prayer. They can pray a prayer after you. It's not about everything being done perfectly. It's God at work. That's it. It's not my words. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We always need to remember it's the Holy Spirit that saves. And when we share the good news, the word has power. I mean, you can blow it and a person will still come to Jesus because the Holy Spirit's at work. In my quiet time this morning, I was reading in Matthew 4, verse 26 and following, and Jesus shares this parable. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. It's the word of God. Night and day, when he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. He sowed the seed and just waited because the seed had power. And that ground enabled it to grow. We just sow the seed, we water. But the harvest comes from the Lord. And so just share imperfectly, relax, and let God be at work. And so our response is simply this. Let your light shine and be prepared to share the reason for the hope you have in Christ. Let your light shine and be prepared to share the reason for the hope you have in Christ. These are two ways, and powerful ways, to share the hope that we have. And so ask these questions. I think I'll put these in the bulletin. How is God calling you to let your light shine? And who might God be placing in your heart to invite to your home for a meal, to invite to Alpha? And, you know, if you've not begun building a relationship, it might not be this Alpha. It might be the next Alpha in the spring. To invite to church. And also ask, what is your two-word story? Be thinking about that. Talk to a friend or a family member about, what are those two words for me? And then you can prepare, you know, how can you prepare to share the reason for the hope that you have in Christ? Ask that question. And one thing I encourage you to do is, lead your husband to Christ using this illustration. Lead your wife to Christ using this illustration. I say that tongue-in-cheek, expect that you are married to a believer, but lead a friend to Christ who's a believer. In other words, sit down with a friend or a loved one or a family member and just say, hey, I want to practice this. Grab a napkin and just walk it through. And And you may stumble through it. That's fine. Just do it and let them do it back. And just do it by practice, by action. So you'll be ready. These are big things. God can work through you. He can work through me. And so who might God be placing on your heart to invite into your home, to Alpha, or to church? I forgot to push the buttons or went backwards. What is your two-word story, and how can you be prepared yourself to share the reason for the hope that you have in Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have done such a great work in our lives. And Father, we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared to share the good news. And so, Lord, open our eyes to see the good things you've done in our lives. There might be several. I'm sure there are several stories of how you touched us and opened our eyes to your truth, touched us with your love, and it brought change. And some of us may have dramatic conversion stories. Lord, let us be prepared. And Lord, let us be prepared to share the gospel. And in all, Lord, may our lives shine. And may we learn to bless as you have blessed us, and to overcome evil with good. That both in our deeds and in our words, we might be the good news to the world around us. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.